Praise the Lord. Come on, let's put our hands together. Amen for the worship team. Amen. We thank God for the worship team. Praise the Lord. Somebody said that they left the doors open. So I started to panic and said, oh gosh, the neighbors are going to be complaining to the council. But then somebody said, no, they won't. They're going to be coming into the church. So come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. Why don't you take your Bibles today and turn with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you know what? I don't know where we're going to go today, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just sensing something and I'm going to yield to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, God is good. Tell your neighbor, but I wonder if you know how good. Amen. I'm going to preach from a subject matter today called the source. The source or the inspiration of repentance. The source or the inspiration of repentance. Somebody say repentance. Okay, so can I just get my phone, please? There's a scripture I want to find. Amen. So praise the Lord, the source. Let's go ahead and pray first. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today and we thank you for your grace and your power to each and every one of our lives today. We thank you for your awesome presence. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the destiny that lays before of us. We thank you for your will and your purpose. And as directed in your word, we pray, Heavenly Father, for progressive, Lord, and an increasing spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father God, that we will continually come to know, Lord, the hope and the hope of the call that you and the power that you think towards each and every one of us, Father God, as we believe you. Have your way. What transpires here by the spirit of the living God, Heavenly Father, may your spirit just speak to the intimate, close, and parts of our lives and our hearts, Heavenly Father. Get into every nook and cranny, and may we have the ears to hear your word, Lord, and to obey it. And everybody said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is good. Praise the Lord. God is good. Praise God. You go ahead and be seated today. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't think I'm gonna preach today. I don't even think I'm going to teach today, but I do have something to say. But I'm going to say something. And how many people know what really, it's not always the things that we hear that really impact and influence our lives. Many times it's the things that we don't hear that really have the most effect. Let me say that again. It's not always the things that we hear that impact our lives. It's the things that we don't hear that have the most impact. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. In other words, we can hear something, but sometimes we didn't really hear it properly and internalize it and allow it to impact our lives. Some people know what I'm talking about now. I'm going to say it again. It's not always the things that we hear that impact our lives, amen, or have the most impact. Sometimes, I'm not saying they don't have an impact on our lives, but many times it's the things that we did not hear that have the most impact on our lives. How many people can you say amen? Praise the Lord. There is a scripture before the end of service. I'll tell you where it is. But it does say this. It says, or do you show contempt? Somebody say contempt for the riches of his kindness, the forbearance of his patience, not realizing that it is God's goodness that leads you to repentance. It is God's goodness that leads you to repentance. Romans, it said it is the goodness of God that will lead a man or a woman to repentance. Now, the past few weeks I've been ministering on the subject of repentance. And how many people know, I'm just going to recap a bit. How many people know repentance is a gift? Yeah, give me a bit on the monitor. So I can at least know that there's something going out there. I said repentance is a gift. How many know repentance is a wonderful gift from God? Amen. The Bible says that in James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift, somebody say gift, comes down from the Father of lights, from Father above, from whom there's no shadow or no turning. There's no tricks about it. There's no ambiguity about it. It is a good and it is a pure gift. How many know repentance is actually a form of power? Somebody say power. Power, power. Let me know, when you don't have power, it means that you are disenfranchised. It means that you are marginalized. It means that you have not the ability to institute change, or you have not the ability to form or affect your destiny or your future. Somebody say power. Now, the gift of repentance, this dynamic that God has given us, the ability to have a change of mind. Somebody say a change of mind. That is repentance. I have a change of mind. It's actually power. Amen. And power, one of the ways I interpret power, I say this: power or authority is effectively the measure of an entity or a person's ability to control their lives, their future, to influence it, and even other people's lives and destiny. How many know that God has given you and I that kind of power and that influence and that kind of authority, not just to change your life, not just to change my life, but to change other people's lives? Many of us will think that we're here today because you repented, that you're saved and that you're with God today, and that God's doing a work in your life due to your repentance. But I want to tell you something. Before you or I repented and came to Christ and received salvation, somebody had to repent before you repented. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God, amen, for the men and the women of God that went before me, who repented so that God could use their lives, come on somebody, to influence my life, to change my destiny. Praise the Lord. I can see it's going to be a bit tough today, but it's all right. I've got my boots on. Hallelujah. I said we need to recognize that repentance is power. Somebody say power. It is power. I ain't going to say much today. I said I ain't going to teach and I ain't going to preach, but I've got something to say. And I'm getting there. I'm just, you know, just making up the bed. Puffing up the pillows. Praise the Lord. Amen. Repentance is a gift of power. It is grace operating in our lives. It empowers us to have a change of mind. And you can't just find repentance any old way. You can't find, I'm not a believer that you could just find divine repentance. I believe that God has sovereignly graced each and every one of us, and whether you're saved or unsaved, in the church or outside the church, with the gift of being able to repent. But there's such a thing, I believe, of divine repentance. A place where I believe that there's some things in life, And the subject matter may be different for each and every one of us, but there's a time in your life where there may be something that you want to do, someone that you want to become, something that you want to achieve, some kind of change that you want to see happen in your life. And no matter how much you muster your will and your strength and you gather resources, that unless you get God involved in it, it will not happen or transpire in your life. How many people know sometimes you're going to need the God factor at some point or some place in your life. Gonna need the God factor. The Bible tells us about a guy called Esau. Hebrews 12. It says that make sure that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found, the Bible says, no place for repentance. He found no place for repentance. He had lost something. There was something that he wanted to achieve, something that he wanted to gain, yet he found no place. He couldn't find it within himself to make the changes necessary. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me help you then. How many of us find no place to go on a diet? No place to stay, you know, in that gym. No place to start spending that credit card. You know. Sometimes it takes a bit. You got to try to find the right place so that you can make up in your mind. Right, this is it. You know, I mean, like for the past 20 years, how many of us have had the same New Year's resolution for 20 years? And you're still looking for the right place. Amen. Maybe you need to get God involved. There's some things in life you definitely without a shadow of doubt, amen, God has solemnly ordained that this is an invitation, a chance for you and I to experience him and engage him and know that he is real. And know that he is real. And sometimes we meet some people and we testify to this person, say that to this person. And you know how we go? We always lead with our lead testimony. Well, God helped me with this and God helped me with that. And God got me off of drugs. And you meet some guy, well, I got off of drugs without God. Fair enough. But I needed God. You understand? You understand? There's some things in our lives you're going to need God for. And God will use that as a door, an aperture, an opening, amen, for a divine engagement with him, experience with him. Somebody say, I found the place. The place is in God. For true repentance, it's got to take place in God. The Bible, Hebrews 12:16 tells us that it says, see that there be no immoral or godless person. That's why Esau couldn't change, bring the change in his life. Because he was godless. He was immoral. God was absent in his calculation of what it's going to take to bring that change into place. Now, whenever you repent, you repent because you want to take you to another place. That's why we change our minds. How many people are glad that you got the gift of repentance? Or you'll still be stuck with that guy or that girl that you was... Let me talk to this side. Ain't you glad you was able to change your mind? Imagine you still hooked up with what you hooked up with before. Imagine being stuck on stupid. Amen. That's what you call fated. When you can't institute change or bring about a change in your destiny, that means you just surrender to fate. Whatever will be, the future is ours to see, tra-la-la. How many people know we don't live there? We don't live there. I said we don't live there. I said we don't live there. God has given you power to institute change. Through the grace and the dynamic of repentance. Oh, praise the Lord. He has given you and I a gift, not just to change and affect our lives and our destiny, but your household's destiny. Oh, praise God. Come on, somebody say Rahab. The Bible says Rahab, amen, amen. She instituted the dynamic of faith in her life, and she was able to bring her whole household under the influence of God. You were brought under somebody's household of faith. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. You don't have to go and thank them. Amen. It's all right. But I thank God. Amen. For the men and women of God that have gone before me. I'm going to say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul, he understood that you know what? That at some point in his life, he was a bishop. He's going to need God. He needs God to bring about that change. There's a common verse of Scripture, you know, many theologians and preachers and teachers, they misconstrue it and they say this about it and they say that about it. I'm probably going to join the long list of that list right now. but anyway, like I was saying, it says in Romans 7:14-18, there's one point Paul says, man, that the things that I will not to do, I keep on doing, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. He's this guy that's, you know, he's a man of God, and he even goes and say, oh, wretched man that I am. And when I was reading it, I said, why are you saying you're a wretched man? You're saved and Christ is working in your life, man. I mean, look at you, man. You're planting all of these churches and you're doing this and you're doing that. But yet here's this apostle and he still says, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? And he's basically saying, yeah, he is a spiritual man now. He's a new creation, but this new person that he is still abides and resides in this flesh that we walk around and live in, and the flesh is trying to pull him one way. Hello, somebody. Amen. But the spirit man wants to go this way, and there's this struggle, and there's this real war. How many people know what I'm talking about? There's a struggle, and there's a real war, and he's the type of guy that says, man, I got to keep pressing this. There's a place I want to get to. There's things I want to accomplish. There's things that I need to see God. That this thing that God wants to do, that Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Paul says, listen, I've got to keep pressing because Christ has laid hold of me for a reason. God got a hold of you for a reason. I said, God got a hold of you for a reason. God got a hold of you for a reason. He says, I press to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He says, in other words, I know that Christ, God just didn't save my life and save my soul for the sake of saving my soul. There's more. I said there's more. You see, too much of the church, so many times we want to come into the house of God, and I said, I'm going to preach, but I've got something to say, I'm going to get this soon. Right? And he said, we come into the house of God, and we just think repentance is a one-time thing. I hate that, Messiah. Sure. Heaven-bound. The angels, them are come. Hallelujah. Bless God. Amen. Jesus said, come as you are. But listen, you ain't supposed to stay as you are. You ain't supposed to stay. Yeah? That's just the beginning. Amen. Just because you've been justified, now you walk around, and if you didn't know, you're young, let you know now. Now you can walk around and you're justified. Your life, when God looks at you, it's like you, it's just as you have never ever sinned. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Keep it that way. Amen. You've been delivered from there's no more penalty of sin. But we know there's the power of sin. And that's called sanctification. And that's where we get that word, you know, sanitation. How many know the rubbish has got to come out? Got to get the rubbish out of our lives. Amen. But listen, growth. Somebody say growth. Maturing and growing and becoming all that God has called you and I to be, and not just becoming that, but seeing the manifestation of what's supposed to transpire through our lives, what we're able to accomplish. Somebody say growth. It takes repentance. If you want to go to another level and see change, it's going to take not just change, having a change of mind on the first day. That mind has got to stay fixed and focused on Christ and the things of God. I said that mind has got to stay fixed and focused on the things of God. Listen, you and I, we got out of hell and straight into heaven with one act of repentance. But that act needs to be perpetual. And then we want to see, we got out of hell straight into heaven, we received eternal life, and I thank God for eternal life. Amen. Some people think it's not that eternal. Because they think that, anyway, I'm not going to go there right now. But anyway, they think it's, some people think, hey, no, I've got to leave that one alone, praise the Lord. And let's give me my mind to just switch. So we get out of hell, and we instantly, we receive eternal life. Amen? Just waiting to catch the bus of death. Don't fear death, that's all. It's just a transition for you and I. It's just a door for you and I. That's why the apostle said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? You don't hold no fear for me now. You're just like a door for me. You're just a door I walk through now. You know, how many people know? You know, I mean, tell your neighbor you can stop using that cream to slow down things. Yeah. You can start taking all that surgery. Come on, somebody. Because the more surgery, the more cream, and the more plastic robotics we put on ourselves, we're just slowing down. We're slowing down us getting that new body that Jesus wants to give us. But I won't go there. But that's you get a new body, and I can wait. But when you see me in heaven, watch out. Bam. I'm gonna be like Holy Ghost fit, but anyway, even fit than what I am now. Some of you find it hard to believe, but that can happen. With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. So there needs to be growth and a perpetual mindset of repentance and change, but. And then God, so he saves us, he delivers us, and I'm talking about this inspiration or this source or this motivation to want to change and go from one level. Now, there's, because a couple of things at least that would inspire someone to change. One is the bad, the negative. I mean, if your life's all messed up, you're depressed, oppressed, suppressed, you can't express, you're going to want some change. Praise the Lord. If you're like me, you're going to want some change. I want to tell you something. What I'm going to get to, I ain't going to preaching nothing that I've read in the book, even though I did read it in the book. I'm not going to be teaching or saying nothing or communicating nothing that I have not experienced, that I have not seen the manifestation, the divine results. I mean, if there's anything I've ever preached or said or spoke about that I know works, then it is this today. Let me tell you something. Even though I'm not even saying that I am the example to lift up, because some people know we have not arrived. We've not yet attained to, but I'd be lying to you if I said, listen, man, I know this. I mean, I bet my last pound, my in fact, I did bet my life trusting in the goodness of God. Amen. And I have seen tremendous. If I even start meditating and thinking about how good God has been, I tell you, I won't be able to finish preaching now. I won't say nothing. I'll start crying in this place. I'll start blubbering in this place. But I want to tell you something, man. The good. If you ever needed inspiration when inspiration to change and to radically just change your life and hand over yourself. How many people you want your household to change? You got kids you want changing, amen. Some of you got husbands that need. Hallelujah, husbands that need changes. Some of you are looking at a potential husband that needs changing. Hallelujah. And bless God, we got some teenagers, amen, some upcoming teenagers, amen. If they don't need changing, they're going to need changing now. Praise the Lord. You got it within your power to see those things happen. Man, let me tell you something. Sometimes I look at my life today, and I'm blessed. I mean, to some people, what's going on in my life, they say it's a mess. And I get that. But they don't know what could have been or what was. Yeah, that's how I know I'm blessed. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, that's why the Bible says it is very, very unwise to measure yourself against measure. It says that some people that measure themselves by themselves or by this or by that. And the only person you're supposed to measure yourself by or compare yourself to is what God is saying to you and speaking to your life. And the Bible says it's a very foolish thing to be comparing yourself, looking at somebody else's life, somebody else's marriage, somebody else's truth. I mean, to take that, but change your mind about that stuff. There's something to repent about. Because the Bible says that's a very foolish thing to do. Because everyone has their context. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, some people, they start their race 100 meters ahead of you. And they've only run 110 meters. You started yours at zero and you've run 50 meters already. Download the app. I'm not even going for that one. Praise the Lord. If you didn't get that one, then get it. Get it. Get it. Amen. Now, where was I? Okay. Right. I still don't know where I am yet. Praise the Lord. Repentance. The inspiration for repentance. Why? I mean, when you're in a bad place, then you're going to change. You want to change. But the world would you want to change if you're in a good place? I mean, I understand then, coming to Christ and having our broken hearted healed. I understand coming to Christ and having our lame disposition, our crippled state, healed, and now we're mobilized. I understand, running to Christ, coming to Christ and coming to the altar and having our blind eyes open. Now we could see with hope. Are you hearing me? I understand all of that. I understand, and we can preach a gospel to people and this generation and to our families and say, look, man, God wants to change you, man. God wants to save you. And I understand, and we should let people know, hey, that as you stand and as you are condemned. We're not condemning you, but without you allowing Christ to come and do a work in your life, without you recognizing God and your true state and your eyes opening to your true state, right where you stand, right how you are, you are condemned. You die without Christ, then you are condemned to eternity. And I know on that side of eternity, you can't repent. You're out of time. You can't change your mind. We're out of time. You know, you can run out of time. Man, the amount of times out there in the world, man, I used to roll over and hear people tell me about church. How many people used to roll over and press the snooze button? And press the snooze. I barely made it to church today. And press the snooze. Yeah? And we don't want this generation to be sleeping and stay asleep only to wake up when it's too late. Only to wake up when it's too late. But many people know they can repent and receive Christ. But it's going to start with you and I. Because that's what kind of power we got. Jesus said, I give you all power. All power. I get somebody say, I've got all power. Jesus said, that's so soft, man. Jeez. Yeah. Who are you trying to put to sleep? Say, I've got all power. I've got all power to raise my teenagers. I've got all power for my relationships, for my life, for my future, for my destiny. I've got all power. All power, all power. All it takes is me to keep changing my mind. That's right, we've got to keep our mind locked into God. Got to keep that right attitude. Got to keep that victorious attitude, that, you know, that perpetual mindset, that evangelical mindset. And I want to let you know something. So as we're saying just now, you can get saved and all good. And now you're not living in poverty no more. You're prospering. Now there's a flow. You know, you might not be a millionaire, but you're still prospering. How many people know when you got a flow in your life, that's called prosperity. You are prospering. Amen. There's just this flow. Things are happening. You're no longer dead or stagnant. God's doing. God is stirring in your life. You're not what you was before. You move forward, and then bam, Jesus comes along and starts saying to you, like he said to the disciples in John 6. He says, "Now you're gonna have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Oh, praise the Lord! All right. The disciples' response. Most of them, nearly all of them, in John 6:66, was the Bible says, Nate just says this: from that day forth, many of his disciples left him and departed. John 6:66. Just because the Lord came along and said, from this day forth, he says, now he turned around, just like, you know, they were following him, like how we follow Jesus. And then one day he kind of, some people say the Lord switched on them. That's what I used to say. I go, "Ooh, look at Jesus switching you, boy." He turned around and said, "Now you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now, we've heard, and I just interpret that. So now you're going to have a greater appetite for me and for my call upon your life. You repented because you wanted glory. You repented because you wanted heaven. You repented because you wanted God. You wanted the best. But now, and you had the appetite for that, but now you're going to have a greater appetite. Now I'm getting to what I want to say. For me. For what I want for your life. You repented. You surrendered your life. You changed your mind. You allowed me in. I knocked that door. I opened that. How many people know we repented? And that repentance needs to be perpetual, continuous, constant. Don't start repenting about the fact that you repented. Oh, praise the Lord. Because if someone could repent about repenting, that means that the repentance in the first place was never. Yeah? The Bible says they went out from us to show that they were never of us. If the repentance was true in the first place, then we need to be ready for Christ to turn around and say, "Hey, you got to have more appetite for me now. I'm about to do something greater in your life. I want to accomplish more in your life." And this is where a lot of people, I mean, many saints have missed it. Many Christians have missed it. They just miss it. Too many. We come to God and we repent, God begins to do a work in our lives, and we're believing God for healing, we're believing God for blessing, we're believing God for salvation, we're believing God for his influence and him moving in our lives, through our lives, and to accomplish things. But the minute things get kind of like uncomfortable, are you hearing me? You know, there's too many Christians walking around, and we're preaching Matthew 16, and Jesus said, if any man or woman chooses to come after me, and they must first deny themselves, and we do a little bit of denying, yeah, but they must pick up their cross. And there's too many Christians looking around for though, you know the designer crosses, you know the one that's gonna fit the groove on your back, amen. So you don't get no splinters. The one you want it the right size, the right weight. You know, can you hollow that one out a bit? It's a bit too solid. It's like oak. You know, it's almost like we get conditioned to comfort. And I was talking, like, point in case, how many of you know we've got to learn how to walk with God? Too many saints, they say they walk with God, but they're actually walking with their situations and their circumstances. Their walk is with their situations and their circumstances. I'll let you know. Their situations and their circumstances are the things that dictate to them. That tell them when to stand, that tell them when to persevere, that tell them when to move, that tell them when to sit, that tell them when to go, that tell them when to, it's their comfort zones. Is there circumstance? And I was talking with someone the other day, and we were talking, I was really blessed to have this opportunity to minister to this guy. And I've known him for a while. And one of the things he said, man, back then I was out of it. I weren't taking that. I weren't suffering that. I weren't submitting to that. And I said, hey, what do you mean? I said, didn't you know that sometimes God, your relationship with God will call for you to have an appetite for his will. And his will, most of the time, is not comfort. You want to build something? You want to see something transpire in your life? You want to see the grace of God? You want to see your house? So we want, but we're willing to pay the price. You see, there is a lot of cheap Christians. Cheap, as we're saying, they just have moat talk with no walk. It's just cheap. I'm gonna say it because I don't want nobody to leave here without God speaking to them and you hearing God, because we've heard it before. I'll tell you this right now, we've all heard it before. But like I said, and maybe some of us are wondering why our lives may have stalled or frustrated or error of our lives. We may be good over here, but over here is not really progressing. But I'm telling you something, like I said before, sometimes it's not what you heard, it's what you didn't hear that's affecting your life. It's what you didn't hear. Is what you didn't listen to. Is what you didn't embrace and accept. Man, I've known pastors and ministers, we sat down around tables and we've nearly fought tooth and nail and punched each other. We're having a fight about suffering and hardship. One will say, man, that ain't of God. That ain't of God. Why I got to work with this person or live with these people or be in this place or submit to this. Let me tell you something, the devil is a liar. Oh, we know when the devil's telling lies, but do we know when we're telling lies? Do we know? Come and tell you something. The devil's a liar, but there's a bigger liar in town than the devil. When you look in that mirror, man, that person that look at sometimes that person, man, they will swing you. You will know or see it coming. You will know it's happened till afterwards, and then you blame the devil. And the devil's going, I didn't have nothing to do with that one. That was all you. Why are you trying to get me in more trouble with God? Ain't I in no trouble as he's already? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Man, we spring out, my gosh, man, we know how to, woo, woo, woo. We know how to lie to ourselves. We don't even know we're doing it. We know how to convince ourselves of the most craziest things, man. even though the truth is staring us in the face. Hardship. I'm going to bless you if you... Hardship, suffering. We need them. Let me tell you something. The church needs a whole mindset change. A whole set of repentance when it comes to this issue. I'm serious. When we started talking, I started talking with this guy, and then we just felt that the presence of God. Amen. And me being who I am, I don't need to come to church. I just sit down in the chair. You start talking about God or something, I just get inspiration. And I started saying stuff like, hang on, what do you mean you ain't got to submit to that? What do you mean you ain't got to do? That's the first thing first. It ain't, you don't walk by what's going on, your situations or your circumstance. First, before you make a move, find out if God wants you to make a move. Find out if God wants you to stay and submit and go through what you got to go through. And come on, somebody say, go through. But there's something bigger than going through. There's something that God wants to do. It's called grow through. Grow through. God wants to bless his children. God loves you. That's why he put you in the fire. Hebrews 12 said, God chastens those he loves. I mean, God's got to spend eternity with you and me. You won't even want to spend eternity with you how you are. Come on, tell you something about, there's got to be some change here. Eh? Even you don't want to spend eternity with you. Because you always want to change and be better. Don't do that to God. He don't deserve that. So we're faced with this thing called suffering. We're faced with this hardship, and our mind is this stronghold around our mind because we are conditioned to think about God as comfort. Goodness. Somebody said goodness. I said, I wonder if we understand goodness. Remember that rich ruler who came to Jesus and said, good teacher. And Jesus rebuked him and said, listen, there ain't nobody good but God. Okay, but you are God. Good teacher. Hey, there ain't nobody good but God. Hey, there ain't nobody good but God. You see, I believe he was saying, listen, the perspective why you're calling me good, the understanding that you have is good, yeah, that of good is what you think is good. But let me tell you something. When you understand the goodness of God, oh my gosh, God is the epitome, the quintessential, the very of goodness. God is so good, it's like light. That no matter how bad things are, no matter how dark things are, no matter how bad things are, God's goodness just supersedes anything. That's how good God is. You say amen. But I'm glad you say amen. We sing this song. Yes, God is good. Yes, I can't sing, all right? Yes, God is good. It didn't take a prophet to tell you that, did it? Amen. God is good. Yeah. Us Christian people, we got it down, boy. See, we're like that guy, good teacher, good God, yeah? We are like that guy, but we don't really understand how good he is. Otherwise, we would run to bad, to suffering, I mean. We won't be quick to run away from discomfort. God, the Bible says, Hebrews 12, that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he saw the God result. And that's all we want. We want to see God's results in our lives. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. What does the church, what do us Christians usually do? Not you, the person next to you. When we see a cross and shame, we murmur, we complain, rebuke that. Yeah, that ain't God. Yeah, that ain't God. We look for the nearest exit. Cuss out the pastor and the leadership. Oh, praise the Lord, yeah? Yeah? And drop the mic on our way out. We drop the mic. Come on. How many people you seen drop the mic and you went, ma'am, we know how to drop a mic. And we drop it in style and like we're right too. My gosh. Jeez. Jesus, the Bible says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, had an understanding about the goodness of God. The guy walked around filled with the joy, but I think he was kind of mad too. God's got me in this calling. I'm a prisoner. The goodness of God has got this. Ain't something I would do in my normal strength. I wouldn't even do this in my right mind. But it's because God's been so good to me. I've got to surrender my life. I see the goodness of God. How many people know sometimes you could be in a good place and you're still going to leave the good place that you're in? Amen. To see, he says, I can't stop here. Not that I've already arrived or achieved. I've got to press. And sometimes some of you are stopping. You stop here and God wants to do more in your life. He wants you to come out of this good place that you're in, this comfortable place that you're in. And sometimes we're over here. God, I'm over here. This is the path of least resistance. This is the path of ease. And God's over here saying, I'm over here. Come over here. This is the fire and this is the flood. But didn't he say, I'll be with you in the fire and the flood? But anyone has got to be his fire. We need a mindset change. Key, one thing, before you make a move about anything, ask God, what is your will? Man, I've sat in some places. I've sat under some leadership. I've sat in some places, some excruciating, painful, confusing, messed up situations and scenarios. In fact, I've sat over a few people and I've been the confusing, messed up person. And I was able to tell them, but you still just need to sit and get on with it and trust God and believe God. Why? Because I had to do it. And prove God. When God is doing something in your life, walk with God. Learn to walk with God. If he don't tell you to move, if he didn't tell you to whatever, then you stick it and you grow. I think it's Corinthians 12, where the apostle, he says, I'm going to close now. He says, a messenger of Satan, because we've had a few of them. It's like we've had the whole company sometimes, right? A messenger of Satan was sent. And sometimes our lives could, or situations and circumstances could say, look like the devil's just there. And he says, I rebuke this. And he spends so much time trying to fight this devil, get rid of this devil. And Paul said he prayed 3 times. And God says, you know what? No. He says, my grace is sufficient. You know, this is a cure here for relationship hopping, church hopping, job hopping, and hopscotch and running around here and running around there. This is, sometimes you got to realize, you know what? It is what it is. Deal with it. Are you understanding? It is what it is. Deal with it. It is what it is. Deal with it. Always trying to run away. Rebuke it and fight it. What about embracing it and accepting it and growing through it? I said, so what Paul had to do? God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Lord, have mercy. Watch this. The word that God is speaking to you today is filled with power. But it is only powerful when you allow it to impact your weakness. Are you hearing me? Filled with power, but it is not powerful until you allow it to strengthen your area of weakness. There's a difference. I'm going to help you there. Great preaching. Great teaching. Let me tell you, it needs to be, no matter how great the teacher is, doesn't matter how great the preacher is, doesn't matter, you know, it really don't really matter. Unless it's accompanied with the ability to learn great. It's more important, the student is more important, more so than how great the teacher is. because the teacher don't have to be deep or profound or out there. It just needs to be simple. What matters is it being understood, incorporated and internalized. Jesus didn't say whoever hears these great words of mine. He says whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Lord have mercy. There you go. You'll be the one that's going to be building on something strong. And I just believe that each and every one here today, that this is something that we've heard, but today we need to hear what God is saying to us. Somebody say, God is good. Real good. No, tell you that, I mean good. Good. Real good. How do these people gone past, how do they surrender and yield houses, homes, and they, you know, just leave countries to suffer? Bible says that Moses was a prince in Egypt. That's lifestyle. Driving around with his Merc, so his BM. Yeah, I throw a bit of shade out of there. Lifestyle. My one's coming soon, don't worry. Anyway. Pray for me. Bible says that Moses decided. Oh, what a. God basically knew God was calling him to leave. Leave all that comfort, leave all that opulence. And suffer with God's people. How many know what it's like to suffer with God's people? How many know we suffer with each other? God, you again on Sunday. God, Lord of mercy. I've got to do a life group with you. Oh, praise the Lord. Hi. Hi. Praise the Lord. It's just doing, you know what suffering is? It's just doing His will. That's all, and not your will. Jesus says deny. There has to be a degree of denying. Yet we want a whole generation, we want our sons and our daughters and our households to come to Christ, yet we're not exhibiting or demonstrating that God truly is good. How are they going to see that God is good in our lives unless we're living it? People want to see healings taking place and breakthroughs taking place over there. Then serve God. Start expecting God to come down again and get on His hands and knees and follow us around. He says, listen, rewards come via faith. Trust me. Trust me in the fire. Trust me in the flood. Trust me in the suffering. Trust me in the season that you're in. Come to me. Relate with me. Walk with me. Go ahead and stand with me today. 1 Peter 4:19, it talks about suffering according to God's will. Suffering according to God's will. I'm not saying that each and everything that you should put up with and submit to, but let's not walk with our situation or circumstance. Let's walk with in a relationship with God. Is this something, Lord, that a place or a thing that you've placed me in and you've put me here? To learn here, to grow here, to mature here, to see you do a work in this person's life, in this workplace, in this job, in this school, in this family. And once you hear the Lord say, stay, grow for it. My grace is sufficient for you. I will do a work in your life. Lastly, when Jesus came up upon two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, these people, they were the typical church people, man, things didn't work out, they're walking off, they're saying this, they're saying that, and Christ walks up to them and says, ought not the Christ to have suffered before he comes into glory? Somebody say, glory. We all want glory, but how many know the road to glory is many times a bit of suffering, a bit of hardship. And by suffering, let's interpret it right, God's will. Walking according to God's will, going through what God has called you to go through so He can work in you and through you. Praise the Lord. Let's just begin. Let's worship right now, then we're going to pray. Come on, let's lift our hands right now and begin to lift your voice and begin to talk to God.